Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Time to check in with infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty. Good morning, Dr. Marty. Let's talk about the story in the news today about a common virus that's linked to heart disease, and most people don't know it, do they?
No, I'm afraid most people aren't aware of studies that have been conducted since 2011. And then there was the big presentation yesterday that sort of compiled all these studies. And it totals more than 250,000 people from all over the world. There are studies from Korea, there's Argentina, here in the U.S., literally from all over the world, even Australia and Brazil. So these studies are showing that the same, so there's lots of different human papillomaviruses. So these are the viruses that have been associated a long time ago with causing cancer, not just cervical cancer in women, which was the first association, but also cancer of the mouth and throat and upper esophagus, which, you know, famous people like Michael Douglas had, right, from human papillomavirus. And there are many, there are hundreds of different human papillomaviruses, and we actually group them into alpha, beta, gamma, mupo, etc. But it's always these darn alpha ones that cause the worst. And of the alpha ones, there's two in particular, number 16 and number 18, that are the highest risk for cancer. And it turns out they are also the highest risk for cardiovascular disease. And now we're starting to understand why they're associated with that as we linked up the metabolic changes that happen when people get infected with these human papillomaviruses. And it's really very, very, very dramatic. And what's clear also from the studies, and that one of the studies is specifically comparing people who got the vaccine for HPV with those who didn't. And there you see very, very clearly that the vaccine completely protected them from this effect that we see as clearly linking these nasty human papillomaviruses with cardiovascular disease. And that's just tremendous. I remember when the vaccine first came out, Bob, and, you know, I rushed to get my young daughter vaccinated because of the risk for cervical disease. And it was evident even right away that it was incredibly important to vaccinate the males as well. But it took a few years before we were able to get the vaccine available for males. And now we see this another enormous reason why this taking Gardasil or similar type of vaccine that protects against these 16 and 18 in particular, HPV is really, really valuable.
So the recommendation is that all children and teens get the HPV vaccine? Is that it?
This is a vaccine that's normally given it's not a childhood vaccine. It's given a little bit later on in the vaccine schedule. But absolutely, yeah, the recommendation is everyone should get the vaccine because now not only are we protecting against cancer, because these are cancer-causing viruses, we're also protecting against heart attacks and other cardiovascular disease, and that's just huge. So I think this is one of the most important studies that's come out in recent times, and compiling it, doing this meta-analysis that they just did, is incredibly valuable.
Seems like every week there's a new story about bird flu, and now it has been found in sheep in the UK. That's a first, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a first, Bob. And it's very concerning. It's very concerning because of recent mentions at the federal level of letting bird flu go wild. And that's based on a fundamental set of completely wrong thinking. First of all, this idea of this Darwinian idea that if you let something spread, you're going to leave behind the fittest individuals. fundamentally misses the fact that what makes you fit for one thing might make you more susceptible to something else. I'll give you a perfect example. There's something called Delta CCR5, which is a receptor on cells, immune cells, that some people from European descent don't have. Well, those people who are homozygous for Delta CCR5, they're protected from getting AIDS. They can, you know, it's very hard for the HIV virus to infect people that have Delta CCR5. But having Delta CCR5, while it does absolutely protect you from getting HIV, it makes you a much higher risk of severe disease if you get infected with West Nile virus. And that's the reality of how things work. You're only lowering the biodiversity by letting something like that spread. That's one part of the problem. And the other part of the problem that makes the concept so ignorant is the reality that influenza virus is an RNA virus that has 8 segments, and any time that 2 versions get into one cell in one host, you have the possibility and the likelihood, actually, that among those 8 segments, there'll be recombination and formation of a new version of the virus. And that's not even accounting for the slow evolutionary drift that happens anyway. So just because you were protected from the first exposure to H5N1, and I'm assuming you're a bird or a horse or a sheep or a cow or et cetera, or even humans, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to be protected the second time around because of this recombination and change. So there's 2 powerful reasons why you cannot let this virus spread willy-nilly through birds or any other animals.
Let me tell you something. I cannot wait to impress everyone today by saying, good morning. How's your Delta CCR5 today? It's Dr. Eileen Marty. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you.